Lean forward slightly. Look straight at the speaker. And listen with a sparkle in your eye. As though you might be thinking, gee, this is the most wonderful thing I ever heard in all my life.
We interrupt this program to waste some of your valuable time.
Coming to you live from the KOUG studios at WSU Vancouver, it's TGIF Radio. This show is brought to you by the Internet, Electricity, and Mind Power. And now, with no agenda in mind, here's TGIF Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the highlight of your week. It is Friday. This is TGIF Radio. Say goodbye to the work week and hello to the weekend. Did you see that? Did you see how tight that was?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good. I like talking up records. I'm gonna try and do that semi-often.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's part of being professional.
Right.
Being able to get right up to that post, you know? May not technically count as post because he was talking a little bit earlier,
but
that's just getting a little too technical.
Yeah.
We know the number now because it got written down for us.
Yes, it is 360-546-9500.
You have good eyesight, my friend. Is that 2020 I see?
I don't know.
You did pretty good. So yeah, if you dare, go ahead and call us 360-546-9500. We can even accept long distance calls if you happen to be calling us from a faraway land. I really doubt that, though.
Yeah.
One time we got a like on our Facebook page that was from, where did we say it was?
It was like...
Not Uganda. That doesn't sound right.
It was somewhere in that, you know, it was like Central Africa area.
Swaziland.
It's like, you know, the Republic of the Congo or something like that. It was really weird. It was off the wall or...
Something like that.
Botswana or something like that.
You know this. I have a world map on my wall.
Right.
It's a little bit old, so it's not totally up to date, so it doesn't have places like South Sudan or anything.
Does that have the USSR still on it?
No.
Okay.
It's not that old. I pulled it out of a National Geographic maybe in like 2007. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's been up there since I moved into that house. And I was looking at the lower end of Africa, and there are some really tiny countries down there that are completely surrounded by other countries. The country is a pimple on the face of another country.
And it's got like the other country enveloping it practically.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I've seen that, you know, like a lot of countries, especially Africa and Asia especially, they've changed a lot in the past 100 years because, you know, I have a map in my room.
Yeah.
It's not an actual map. I mean, it is a real map, obviously, of the world. It's just not
an
original.
No, it's a fake map. It's the map that in the reality where Hitler cured cancer.
Yeah, no. No, it's not an original printing map. It's basically just a reproduction. But I've narrowed it down. It's between, I think, 1927 and 1945. It's somewhere in that time frame.
Okay, so it's got all those countries on there that aren't really there anymore.
Yeah,
Czechoslovakia is an enigma.
Yeah, no, there's no Czechoslovakia. There's USSR. There's, I think it says the Japanese Empire.
The Japanese Empire.
I'm pretty sure that's on there.
That sounds intimidating.
Africa is only about half as many.
They should have kept that name, shouldn't they?
Yeah, but they aren't an empire anymore.
But empire sounds cool. I mean, sure, maybe it puts you on the same side as Darth Vader and all those people, but
that came 40 years later.
That's a trade-off for being cool.
Yes.
But anyway.
It's much cooler. But yeah, like Africa has like half as many countries. Like North Africa is like four countries.
Wow.
It's like Egypt.
That's it?
I think Algeria or, you know, one of those countries, and like Sahara or French Sahara.
You know what I always thought was the coolest name for a country?
Hmm.
Chad.
Yeah, that
Chad
is
Chad just sitting right in the middle of Africa.
Yeah.
Not sure where the name came from, but that was always interesting to me. And I'm looking at those landlocked countries right now. Like one of the really tiny ones is one that I mentioned earlier, Swaziland.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
I actually thought you were making that one up.
No, that's real.
Yeah,
they I don't know what they speak, but I don't know. I imagine that they dress in shag carpets. It just sounds like a name that would imply that.
I don't know.
Not a good place to dress in shag carpet.
No, it's too warm.
When did shag carpet go out of style again?
Late 70s.
Darn it.
I know.
Stuff was fuzzy, and you could use it for anything. You could wallpaper your van.
You can still get some.
But nobody wants it.
That's why it's very, very cheap.
It's the... Hey, maybe it'll come back, you know?
So you're going to recarpet your room now, aren't you, in shag carpeting?
Better late than never, man. The 70s are coming back.
Yeah, in a big way.
I think that trends like that, like shag carpet, are going to come back simply because they're cheaper.
That's true. And that seems to be a lot of things. It's like, that's why I think a lot of, like, 80s styles are coming back, because like people can go to Goodwill and buy, you know, something that's from like the 80s or 90s for $4 that cost $45 back in 80.
Yeah, it's called the recycling of culture.
Yeah.
Or fashion.
And it seems to happen a lot.
Whatever thing it happens to be. It's going to come back because it's cheaper and pretty available, because people realize, hey, this these flannel shirts are pretty dumb, let's get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And so they go into a bin for a few years, but then Goodwill takes them, brings them back up a few years later, everybody's wearing flannel again. Case in point, Portland.
Yeah, no, well, that's, Portland's almost like its own little bubble.
The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland.
Yeah, definitely. That basically sums up Portland in a nutshell.
What was the dream of the 90s? Like, I don't know that whole song, but was it to, like, open up a coffee shop and only work 3 days a week?
I don't know. It's pretty much just, you know, be whoever you want to be. Portland is basically like this national symbol of being a hipster.
Okay.
Is my understanding.
But they don't like the hipster label. Nobody likes having that.
It's always used in a derogatory manner.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's the people that wear the too tight pants and the funny glasses, the odd colored mustache. Yeah,
the odd colored skinny jeans, weird hairdo and mustache, glasses, probably some sort of sweater.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I am
not, some sort of fancy watch.
I am not adverse to flannel at all.
No, I can see the point of it, or uses for it.
If everybody looks like a lumberjack, then that's just normal.
Some people like lumberjacks.
Some people really do like, I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Did I ever show you that sketch?
I don't think so.
Everybody do yourself a favor. Look up that Monty Python sketch. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I don't feel like playing it because it's kind of long.
Yeah.
And we could talk about other things. But do yourself a favor and give yourself a little bit more Monty Python in your life.
Oh, yeah. I could use some, quite honestly.
That's one of the reasons. Monty Python is helping me enjoy anthropology a lot. I'm taking an anthropology class right now, and my professor is pretty awesome, but she mentions it a couple of times of her playing into a stereotype, because for some of the examples of how language is being used, she'll take certain Monty Python sketches or maybe a couple bits from Groucho Marx and play those, and they work as really effective examples. That's a good way to learn.
I had a history teacher who used the Bring Out Your Dead, you know, bit.
Really?
When we were talking about the Black Death.
Yay!
Or the bubonic plague.
What was the other plague called? Bubonic and another kind, I thought, that killed you slower or something?
I don't remember.
Let's Google types of plague.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. But yeah, anyways.
It just turns your face black and then you can't, walk anymore. Yeah. And then lose your will to live.
And then they make nice nursery rhymes about it.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, there was bubonic plague, pneumonic plague.
Pneumonic plague, duh.
And apparently a third one, which I've never heard of before, how do you say this? Septicemic plague? Septicemic.
I think that's septicemic or septicemic.
Septicemic.
Yeah. I'm sure some medical person might comment on it if they're listening.
Bubonic plague is the one that's most common, kills you super fast. Pneumonic plague is pretty much in the lungs.
It's like super pneumonia.
But apparently it's more serious than bubonic plague.
Yeah, it's much more serious, but it just takes, it didn't get the biggest thing because it wasn't that instant gratification thing. You know?
So serious, it set up a 401k at age 3. That's what's up.
Pretty much.
I don't know. Making a disease sound serious, I don't know. Maybe deadly has a bit more emphasis to me. But when you apply arbitrary terms like seriousness to a disease, I just imagine hepatitis C walking into a bank and trying to set up a Roth IRA or something. Well, that's just where that's where my brain goes.
Oh, okay. I just think of serious as being, you know, pancreatic cancer is much worse than kidney stones, which is much worse than a runny nose.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's just the weird way that I apply my brain to ways that grammar is used. I've been doing this for about the past week or so. This doesn't have much to do with grammar, but this has to do more with basic observation of the world around you.
Okay.
For maybe about an hour or so a day, what you want to do is try and observe the world around you as if you yourself were an alien.
I've tried doing that a couple times, or just looking in on just like a group in general.
How did it go?
It's really interesting.
Wait, people watching is different.
I mean, just like, you know, I just will think about, you know, you know, yeah, people watching. Well, that's basically what that is in a lot of ways.
But I don't mean just people watching.
Right.
I mean just looking at maybe I was in traffic the other day and you see a traffic cone. Mm. And then as an alien, you try and figure out what does this traffic cone symbolize?
Yeah, what does it represent?
Is it a god? Does it have a force field around it that makes all these metal objects just stay away from it all the time? Is it protecting these humans over here?
Is some sort of a, you know, a hazard as in like a bomb or a, you know, a crime or something?
What is this color orange? Maybe I've never experienced the
color
orange.
Maybe you don't see colors.
Yeah, that would kind of suck. I like the ability to see colors.
Yes.
If I had to pick my favorite sense, it would probably be sight.
Yeah, probably it's most useful.
I mean, I could live without hearing and still kind of carry on in my normal day-to-day things, but if I couldn't see, I couldn't do most of the things that I do regularly.
What sense do you think you could do without the most?
That I could do without the most?
Yeah.
It'd
probably be either smell or taste, quite honestly.
Yeah, I'd get rid of smell.
Yeah.
I would keep taste because bacon has to, I still gotta taste that bacon.
Well, yeah.
Give me the bacon. But smell can go away because there are things that you really don't want to smell.
That's true, but there's also things, you really don't want to be eating and or tasting either.
Right, but if you taste it, then you know that something is bad and you shouldn't be eating it. And if you observe other people around you going like, ugh, don't eat this thing, or, I don't know, you read the warning label on the can of rat poison that says, don't eat this.
Yeah.
You will continue through life not eating that thing, just like you were always
but
intended
to do. But yeah, smell would be an interesting one to get rid of.
Yeah, I could live without it. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, if I can't smell the bacon anymore, boo-hoo. But smell and taste are so closely related I'd be happy enough with eating
it. And smelling the bacon is almost really kind of torturous because you want to reach into that pan and grab that bacon, but you can't for fear of bodily harm.
It's so difficult.
It's like, I'll be downstairs. I'll be like, oh, I smell chocolate chip cookies.
Smell, the sense of smell is torture to human beings, which is why we've decided to get rid of it.
Yes. But no, it's like literally it'll be like in the cartoons where they, you know, the smell wafts down in like a little wave.
And then you start floating towards the pie.
And then you start floating towards it, and then you're just like, ah.
Oh man, that would be an interesting dimension to be a part of. I recommend this to everybody. I showed Drew an amazing TV show called Rick and Morty. Look for it anywhere. And the main concept of it is the whole show is run by Rick, who is an alcoholic Doc Brown.
Yeah,
pretty much. But he has the ability to travel between dimensions.
Rather than time.
So what about the dimension where cartoon physics actually work?
Yeah,
How great would that be?
That would be awesome. I would love to have cartoon physics be real.
Nobody would ever actually die.
No, because you
float when you smell pie.
You could get shot and blown up endless numbers of times and just hold up a sign that says ouch and be okay.
You can have an entire pool full of gold coins. You could dive in it without hurting yourself.
And swim in it like water. You could jump off, you could run off the top of a building and not fall until you actually stop and look down.
That would be so great.
Because think about that. What happens if you actually kept running? Like you didn't get tired until you got to the next building?
Oh, you just kept, if you just made a beeline right for the next building, no stopping, no looking down.
Exactly.
Man. Have they done that in a cartoon before?
I don't
before?
Think so, but.
Man. Well, they should.
I know.
It's
interesting.
We're here to edit Hollywood again. Elect me editor of Hollywood, and we can go ahead and make this crazy new world of cartoons.
Yeah, we can actually make them good again.
Yeah, I also think it's kind of interesting that we've created universes like that, the cartoon universe, where pretty much all rules have been broken.
Pretty much.
But then you go to something like the Marvel Universe, and they do have rules.
Oh, yeah, that they have very strict rules.
It's so weird.
But they do come up with a lot of very clever ways to bend those rules.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't quite break them.
Marvel's a bit better at that than DC.
DC will, like, do something, and then they'll, like, try and write their way out of, that was a bad idea. We got to fix that now.
Because I showed you the
Death and Return of Superman, yes.
Yeah, Death and Return of Superman is a great example of DC screwing things up, just like they did with Green Lantern and countless other
Most of their actual comic stuff.
Yeah, it's so sad.
More reasons why DC's better, or Marvel's better.
I know. I mean, DC's got Batman, woohoo, and they've got Superman, but big deal.
I always thought Superman was a cliche.
I've a cliche always for what?
It's just, he's just kind of one of those, he's too perfect in a lot of ways.
He's too perfect.
Yeah, and which makes him boring, because
Kryptonite's a bit of a problem, but otherwise he can just kick anyone's butt.
Yeah, because, and it seems like whatever problem he has, with the exception of this Death and Return of Superman, that's just because they got bored writing Superman stories and they want to take a break for a while, probably.
No, it wasn't that. They just wanted to make money.
I know.
They wanted everybody to buy the comic where Superman died.
Exactly.
And that happened.
Yeah.
But they wanted to keep making money off of him, so they brought him back to life.
Exactly, because they realized, that didn't exactly do what we wanted in the long term.
I don't really know if there's actually been a permanent death in comics that I can think of, though. We need we aren't very well versed in either universes.
No.
We try, but we need examples.
We have rough knowledge. We aren't like, you know, hardcore comic nerds.
If you know for a fact that we're wrong and you want to prove us wrong, we're happy to learn about this.
Oh, yeah, please.
You can go ahead and call us at 360-546-9500. We want to learn. Hopefully I remember how to use the
worst phone. Case, just send us an email. We'll talk about it next show.
Yeah, we'll figure this out.
But, yeah, no, it's just, and Superman also has the problem of, oh, I'm facing a bad guy. Oh, yeah, I just happen to have a superpower that you didn't know about that allows me to defeat this bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, originally, he couldn't fly.
He couldn't fly.
He was a building jumper.
Yeah, pretty much. He was just ultimately just super strong. That allowed him to leap super tall buildings, run really fast, you know, bounce, have bullets bounce off his chest, lift cars, all that kind of stuff. It's just because he was really, really strong and tough.
Yeah, although I do like the direction that they took it with the new Superman movie.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
He's got a little bit looser morals than most people,
yeah.
Because this is spoiler territory for people who haven't seen
Man of Steel or haven't had it spoiled for them yet.
So skip ahead like 3-4 minutes if you haven't seen it yet. When he kills Zod, I didn't expect him to do that. I thought he was going to find a way to banish Zod to another territory.
Send him
again.
Back to the whatever the neutral zone or whatever it is that he sends him to.
Not the neutral zone.
Star Trek.
They like squished him. They squished him into a mirror and then they threw him into the void.
It was a two-dimensional prison or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck
that was. I never saw Superman 2. So.
Oh, I did. It was
Donner
pretty,
Cut.
It was Donner Cut, but it was pretty cheesy.
I've heard.
I mean, Lois Lane's throwing herself off of buildings to prove that
Superman.
Yeah.
And that's my other really big gripe with Superman is, oh, I put on the glasses. Nobody knows who I am.
It's the Clark Kent. They're doing the same thing with the, this isn't really related, but the new Muppets movie.
Yeah.
They're doing the thing where all you have to do is give Kermit a mole next to his nose and he's a world famous thief. Like, bam. It's the Clark Kent effect, but it's in reverse.
Pretty much.
That's an interesting application of it. And it also kind of shows how blind Muppets are. Really? I mean, how are they alive? I don't mean actually alive. Let's set up this alternate dimension thing again, where we go to a world where, Muppets are real. Okay?
Yes.
And they can do all
and
the
they
same
don't have
things.
People actually... You know,
there aren't
hands
around. Up their butts. They actually have kind of their own free will.
Yes.
They wouldn't really last that long because, one, they look delicious and they don't have the best eyesight.
No.
Obviously, with that whole Kermit getting the mole thing.
Also, not exactly fast or quick reflexes.
No, they don't. They just kind of, they jump up and down.
They kind of just bobble along. They're almost like a penguin.
Yeah.
Just kind of waddling along.
There's a few exceptions. Do we count the Sesame Street characters as Muppets?
No.
I've always been confused about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, because I was going to count Snuffleupagus in this, and
yeah,
I don't think he does.
I thought he was kind of slow. He was just kind of that boom, 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 bumbling along.
He lumbers along, and he's not very fast, but most of them don't really have feet.
Yeah, that's true.
So really, I imagine them as just having, they've got the torso and everything, mm-hmm. but then they've just got a fuzzy stump for their lower body, and they just jump up and down to move around. They're really good at it,
yeah.
But it's like a pirate peg leg, and all they've got is the one leg.
Yeah.
That's how they move around.
Yeah.
Muppets would really just kind of go away based on how natural selection works. They would be eaten by everything.
Yeah, because they're not smart enough to make a bunch of tools like people are. Because that's the reason why people are still alive. It's not because we're good at anything else.
Yeah, also, like, we created the Muppets. So.
Well, I mean, I meant, like, you know, from an evolutionary standpoint.
Yeah. Definitely.
The only reason humans exist is because we're able to think stuff up.
And I don't think the bright colors of Muppets would have the same effect that Poison Dart Frog's colors have, where they would deter things maybe from eating them. I think it would be an attractor.
Maybe if it was a dimension where Muppets are real, it'd be like a Dr. Seuss world where it would actually be camouflage.
Hmm.
Because it's such a bright and colorful world, they can just, you know... Kermit can just go run and hide against a tree and blend in.
This isn't the Muppet world that I was thinking of, where it's just Earth as we know it, just happens to have Muppets in it. You're thinking of we'll call it like Muppet Dimension Prime.
Okay,
it's
Muppets.
Just Muppets.
Yeah, it's
then
like
they definitely would be the dominant life form. Then.
Yeah,
because let's see, the Cat in the Hat would obviously be God.
So it's basically Dr. Seuss world with Muppets running around in it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we could integrate those. If there's an infinite number of realities, then I guess we could run with that.
Yeah, because that could be one possibility of the realities.
The Cat in the Hat is God. Thing one and thing two are the Son and the Holy Spirit. let's see. The humans are basically non-existent in Dr. Seuss world. So if anything, humans are going extinct and they have to set up all sort of silly fairy tale scenarios in order for them to even learn the most basic things.
It's like, you know, like almost like a post-apocalyptic thing. There's small bands of them grouped together, you know, telling stories in order to keep entertained and stay alive.
A whole bunch of Muppets huddled humans.
Yeah.
Duh. Okay. Humans like in the middle of a candy cane forest with fuzz growing out of them, and they're talking about how Horton heard the Who, and he decimated an entire population of humans or something. I don't know. Like, he went rabid. That would be so great. It'd
be really interesting to see.
Once again, I reiterate, make me editor of Hollywood. We will create this universe. It will benefit all. It'll be pretty sweet.
It would be interesting to see, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I saw this mere moments ago. I want your thoughts on this. Remember Captain Underpants?
Uh-huh.
Movie coming 2016. It's confirmed.
I don't know. Every comic adaptation of those types has ended horribly.
Of children's books?
Or children's cartoony kind of books. I mean, for example, I thought they already made... what is it? Those, like, the Diary of Wimpy Kid or whatever movies?
Oh, right. I forgot they made those.
And those were
never read the books.
I read, I think, one of or two of the books. It wasn't very good, in my opinion, anyways. But I heard the movies were just really bad.
Yeah, well, because they had... Did they have a guy that I even know?
I don't think so. Those
movies? It doesn't matter. They ended up being, like, B flicks that... are supposed to, teach kids self-esteem?
It was basically a Disney Channel movie that got released in theaters.
Oh, hooray.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was
supposed... That's the best parallel, I think.
It was supposed to stay on TV,
It would have fit in perfectly if it was on TV.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe they need to figure out...
You gotta remember the target audience with those, though, too.
Yeah, they really do. They need to figure out the right place to put it, which optimally, I think, would be just the internet, you know? Maybe not even on a network. Like, people can go to it if they want to. People can still make money that way.
Yeah.
That's kind of the model that Adult Swim is pushing with Rick and Morty. That's the network that it's showing on. They're doing something really cool, which is each new episode that they release, they put it up for free on YouTube for 1 week, and then they put it behind a $2 paywall.
Mm.
And it is getting a lot of ground because of that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I've been following.
Well, it's because the initial few people get out there, see it, and then they tell everybody, hey, get this show. It's awesome. And then people are like...
And it's free.
Yeah. And then people watch, you know, whatever free episodes they can get. They're like, okay, I want more now. And then they go buy the other episodes.
Okay. So I found an article from philly.com. Is that even reputable?
I don't know.
Hold on. Actually, well, maybe I'll just read the article that came on, that was actually on Reddit. Apparently... Kevin Hart is going to be in it. Jordan Peele from Key and Peele, I guess. So they're a pretty good sketch group, so I don't know. I guess they could do something.
Maybe.
The Captain Underpants cast is interesting in that it's not filled with celebrity A-listers that is typical of animated films today. Oh, it's going to be animated.
Oh, it's animated. Interesting.
Okay, maybe that'll...
That might be better.
I was fearing...
I was thinking live action.
I thought it was going to be a live action. Oh, God, that would have been kind of hilarious, but it would have been another Diary of a Wimpy Kid, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Instead, it features talented crop of comedians such as Nick Kroll of Comedy Central's Kroll Show, Jordan Peele, Ed Helms. Oh, okay. I kind of like Ed Helms.
Okay, it has more potential.
He was in The Hangover. I lost a little bit of respect for him yeah. from that, but he was hilarious in The Office.
But the same could be said of John Goodman. He was in The Hangover 3, yet you still lose no respect
for
him.
No, I lose no respect for him because he was in...
He's John Goodman.
He was in The Big Lebowski. He was in Raising Arizona. Those good Coen things.
No, I agree. You know.
Let's see. Kevin Hart and Thomas Middleditch. I'm not making that up.
Interesting name.
Thomas Middleditch.
How do you not have your name changed if you have that name in Hollywood?
Because I think he got involved in this showbiz already, and it was too late for him to change it.
Oh.
This guy...
Or he just didn't care.
Oh, he writes for SNL.
Oh, okay.
He looks familiar, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, he's been in a couple sketches at least. He does like those digital shorts, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, back in October, it was announced that Shark Tale and Monsters vs. Aliens director Rob Letterman was at the helm of the project, and that Nicholas... Stoller? God, these names in Hollywood, I'm telling you, would be penning the script. This was the first sign that it was moving closer to production. The cast is actually bigger than the cast for Trolls. What's Trolls? Have you heard of that? Is that new?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Planning to release it in fall 2016, it's possible that Captain Underpants may end up being the studio's fall 2016 release, with Trolls following in... What's Trolls, though?
I don't know.
They keep bringing this
up.
When
I hear Trolls, I think of Trolls 2, which is not...
Oh, you mean Troll 2?
Troll 2, that's what I'm thinking. Oh. Yeah. I'm like, that's probably...
They're eating her! And then they're gonna eat me! Oh my god! That's like
I've
the
heard
worst
pretty
part
bad.
It is bad, but...
Is there Troll 1?
No.
That's the joke, isn't it?
That's the joke.
Yeah. That's what I thought that was. I thought that was that series, but...
It doesn't make any sense. This is the actual press release. Captain Underpants is based on Dav Pilkey. Never knew that guy's name. Dav Pilkey's popular book series and centers around two scheming fourth graders. Oh, they were fourth graders. I thought they were a little older than that in the books.
I don't know.
George Beard and Harold Hutchins... played by Kevin Hart and Thomas Middleditch, respectively. Oh, well, Thomas Middleditch doesn't have the hair, though, that Harold had. Remember?
But their
Harold
voices, had that... not faces.
Oh, right. That. Yeah, duh. I don't know. Whatever. Whose personal missions, I'm going to go to broadcasting school after this, are to play pranks, hide in their secret treehouse, and write comic books. But when they accidentally bring their favorite comic book character, Captain Underpants, to life through a hypnosis accident involving their megalomaniacal.
I don't know
what he said. Principal Mr. Krupp, played by Ed Helms. Okay, I keep forgetting. Not live action. Yeah. It's voices. It'll work because I was trying to picture Ed Helms in a fat suit.
Okay, and,
which is pretty funny. Actually, yeah. You can get an idea of what that is if you've seen that episode of The Office where
I haven't seen any of The Office.
Michael.
I've seen one episode.
What was it?
The one where the office catches on fire.
Oh, it didn't really.
The
Dwight
panini
just set the garbage can on fire.
I thought it was like the panini machine caught on fire or something like that.
Oh, right. There were two ways that the office caught on fire.
Okay.
I forgot. There were two different episodes.
Okay, one with the panini press, I think.
One was the panini press. Ryan set the office on fire.
Yeah, it was Ryan started the fire.
And then the other one was Dwight setting the garbage can on fire for a fire drill.
It was the Ryan started the fire one that I saw.
Yeah, but there is an episode of The Office where they go on a company picnic and they're competing for Michael's job. Mm. And one of the competitions that they have to do is very Survivor-ish. One of the ones that they have to do is they dress up in sumo suits, like those ones that you can rent at the mall, and then they fight each other. And Ed Helms is in a sumo suit at one point.
That's awesome.
So you can kind of imagine it's a bit more fat than the principal from those books.
Mm-hmm. But still.
Yeah.
It's more like Tom Cruise Tropic Thunder stuff.
Yeah, kind of like that. Their elementary school life becomes anything but elementary. Oh, that's clever. Rounding out the cast will be Jordan Peele, who will voice Melvin, the nerdy nemesis of George and Harold. Ooh, that could be interesting. And Nick Kroll as the insidious villain, Professor Poopy Pants. I completely forgot about that character,
yeah.
But the comments are pretty great. Of all the superheroes... This is from Captain Rip on Reddit. Of all the superheroes that have had gritty, dark reboots recently, this would be the best. Oh my god. You know how cool that would be?
It'll be interesting to see how it works out.
Captain Underpants talking like Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But
speaking of animated movies coming out,
okay.
What are your thoughts on the Lego Movie?
Yes, please. I need it.
I kind of want to see it just for, I don't know why, but I want to see it.
When's it coming out?
I think a week from today.
Whoa, really? I think soon?
February 7th, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Hold on. We got to find this. I really want to see it. Because looking at the commercials and reading all the discussions about it, mm-hmm. from what they're showing in the trailers so far, it's really going to stick to how to the experiences that kids have had with Lego throughout their lives.
It's basically the opening 8 minutes or whatever of Toy Story 3. It's what's going on in the kid's head when he's playing with the Legos.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I can see that looking at because it's a weird amount, is it the amalgamation or whatever, the compilation of Lego minifigures from all over. There's the 1980s space minifigure. There's Batman.
On that spaceman, if you look.
There's the cracked helmet right where those helmets would always crack.
I know. Why is that exciting to me? I don't get it.
I don't know. I actually never have had one of those helmets crack on me.
Never?
Never.
Wow. You haven't lived, man. it comes out 1 week from today.
Yeah.
Everybody go see it.
I think that'll be one you and I have to go see. I don't know if everybody wants to go see that, but...
And I'm okay with Will Ferrell voicing the bad guy if it means I don't have to see his face.
That's true.
Because he's...
Maybe he'll channel his villain in Zoolander.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that wasn't a... He's got kind of the same hat, so... yeah. The hat kind of resembles the hair that he had in that movie. Yeah, I definitely do want to see this.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it. And there's the Batman guy that does the imitation. The you saying the imitation of animated imitating Christopher Nolan's Batman made me think of that movie.
Yeah. That was a bad pun. Because now it, you can, instead of doing a bad impression of Christian Bale's Batman, you could just do the impression of the Batman from this movie.
Yes.
And then it'll totally pass. I'm here to see your butt. And it's simple as that.
Yeah. Now, it'll be... I kind of want to see it. I don't know why, but it's just maybe it's just because I had so many Legos and so many experiences with Legos growing up.
Have you ever gotten rid of any of your Legos?
No.
Good call. Never do that.
No, keep I have like a life. 20 gallon bucket of just loose Lego pieces.
That's awesome.
It was my dad's and my uncle's Lego set.
Yeah.
They had, it was like literally, it's like one of those 20 gallon Rubbermaid tubs.
Ooh.
They had it, and then my uncle had it for a while, and then his kids added to it.
Wow.
So majority of it's 80s pieces.
Nice.
And then I was over at his house. His kids had already moved out and everything. I was playing with him. He's like, "Do you just want that?" I'm like, "Yes."
Wow. He parted with those?
He let me have them. Yeah.
Wow.
It's still sitting in my basement right now.
That's amazing. Got to build something like the Empire State Building.
Yeah, I've built a lot of interesting stuff with that sets.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it also had one of those things. It was the platforms that you could build on, but it also had like the divots and elevation changes and those kind of things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one. It was like space planet thing.
That's amazing.
I used that so much.
It was like a sphere.
No. It was a platform, but it was like black with a bunch of little gray circles on it.
That is
and it
awesome.
Had like a weird elevation mountain change with a crater in the middle.
Nice. I love stuff like that. One cool. time I got this for my birthday when I was maybe 8 or 9. I'm maybe older than that. But it had a whole bunch of projects that you could make using Lego. And one of the best ones was an M&M dispenser.
Ooh, that would be cool.
It was cool. So it worked on you just dump them into a big chamber on the top. Mm-hmm. And then you push a thing in and it's powered by rubber bands. So you push against the rubber bands and they fall into another chamber and then you pull it back and then all the M&Ms are in a tray.
Now, did you build, when you built your M&M dispenser, was like the body all one color?
No, it was all sorts of different colors.
See, that was that's always the hardest things to do is get it all one color.
Oh yeah, that's tough. And I wish I had more of like the same color too, but mm-hmm. that's the great thing about why kids today are going to be super spoiled with the internet and all, because they can just go on lego.com and look at an entire catalog of every single freaking piece
they came
made.
Out that catalog about a year or two before we really kind of started getting out of Legos.
Yeah.
It seems like they came out that way. I remember when that website launched, I wanted, you know, to go on or all sorts of different stuff, minifigure heads and hats and accessories and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Cause
I always liked having like the minifigures, having all the stuff that I wanted, you know, or making I would make like movie figure. I made like an Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Like
they make Lego whips? Or do you just like attach a rope to his hand? Because
I just used one of the revolvers. And
nice.
I don't remember what I did for a whip, but
literally, good enough, because he doesn't always have his whip.
No, sometimes it's on his belt. But yeah, I just used one of the Lego revolvers. It was like an old like a Australian safari hat thing.
Sweet.
It worked. They had, you know, I found like a old minifigure thing with like a brown leather jacket and a white shirt. I'm like, yes, yes. And then I found brown pants. I'm like, stick that on there. Yes, Indiana Jones.
That's awesome. And then we've got those giant Lego sets in my house with all the Star Wars
the collector's
ships and everything.
Ones, yeah.
Yeah, they don't really move or anything, but they do. They look pretty nice.
See, I played with mine too many to have invested in those kind of sets.
Yeah?
I was like, if I build it, I want to use it, and if I use it, I'm going to break it, and I'm not paying $200 for a
set. Sometimes putting it back together is half the fun,
yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
I mean, it is a little bit of a time sink, but still do it anyway. I don't know if I ever showed you the space shuttle one that we have. Did you know that those parts actually move on it?
I think, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they'd move because they got the pivot points.
Yeah, we've got it, so that whole chamber on the top where right. they would, what's that? The arm that pops out of the top of the shuttle. What the heck is that?
I don't remember.
That's just to like move astronauts around
in a more precise manner, and then if they don't have the jetpacks, which are very expensive.
Yeah, it's something like that. But it's got that arm.
It's got the EVA hatches and the arm and everything.
Yeah, but you don't attach astronauts to it. It's got a satellite hanging off of it. And
you could take the satellite off and put a minifigure on there.
You could, but I like the satellite. Because the wings actually fold out too.
Oh, that's cool.
They're folded back and you switch a thing and the wings come out,
that's cool.
And it's awesome.
That's cool.
We just nerded out about Legos for like 15 minutes.
I know. yeah. Before we get too nostalgic, the two things I wanted to talk about. One was just
like actual issues.
No, just one's an actual issue.
Oh, thank God! I thought we were going to be serious for a second. That would have been
one
a
is an actual issue. The other one is more of one of our running things with our once per episode reminder of hoverboards that need to happen.
Okay, yeah, I can get into this.
We figured out when it is that hoverboards need to be out by
precisely.
Well, yeah, roughly. I mean, rough preciseness.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, okay. It's within a certain close time period. Basically, they have to be out by September of 2015.
Right.
Because Marty McFly goes back to, or goes to 2015 in end of October, I think.
What did you look up on this Wikipedia page? Or just normal timeline?
Yeah. And then I clicked on the link.
With that graphic or?
No, you just scroll down to, I think it's like timeline 3 or something like that.
Oh, and it has an entry for hoverboards?
No, it's just, I just figured that's the day that Marty went back to the future, or went to the future, which is the day that had hoverboards. You go back a month.
Oh, okay. So hoverboards were a relatively new thing for that part of the movie?
I'm giving them the most amount of time possible to get them out.
Got it. Okay.
So that way I'm not disappointed.
Yeah. No, yeah, because you're going to be asking for it for Christmas.
Actually, my birthday if I can, because my birthday is the end of September.
Awesome. Yeah, well, put it down for both lists.
I don't care if it's in pink. I'll take it in pink.
Yeah, you know what? It'd be really nice if they were just... Because everybody, we do want them to happen. Mm-hmm. We honestly really do.
Yeah.
But more than likely, it may not.
It won't, but...
Hey, don't be so pessimistic.
That's the pessimist in me talking is saying, no, they won't. But
it could be a thing, like maybe Google's working on it, you know?
Could be.
They kept Google Glass under wraps for such a long time.
That's true.
And then they just, here it is. We've been working on it, this secret, the whole time.
Right.
And there it is.
And I would even be happy if they released that they had a working prototype. Not even not even on the market for purchase, just that they have a working prototype. That would be enough for me.
Would you be cool if it couldn't if that prototype couldn't support that much weight?
If they have a floating board, yes.
Okay.
If they have a board that you pull out not over magnets, like you set it on the sidewalk and it floats.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'd be really excited too.
I'm good.
Yeah. That we need that.
That
September
means
2015?
Yeah. September.
Awesome. Not that far off, so no. Get cracking, Google.
Yeah, you got a year and a half left.
Yeah, we expect big things from you guys.
Yes.
So what was the other thing?
Google is slowly becoming Skynet.
Hooray!
Skynet being, you know, the evil robot entity that in the Terminator franchise.
Now, is it because they bought that one Nest company
That's
with all the
part
thermostats?
Of it. That's part of it, and okay. Basically the monitoring and remembering software.
Okay.
Also, recently, very recently, Google has acquired, like, I think two or three different robotics companies. Like,
ooh.
Advanced robotics companies.
Oh, wait, yeah. One was owned by, was like an exclusive contractor to the Pentagon, wasn't it?
I thought one of them was, yeah. So Google's bought up, like, and the thing is, these companies that they're buying, they have very little private information.
Really?
Or not private, public information.
Oh, so it's really under lock and key.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're doing.
You don't really know what they're working on, other than one of them was supposedly working on, like, advanced AI.
Okay.
So
that, well, I don't know. I'm excited for that, but I there was a thread about this actually that I was reading about.
Google's becoming Skynet.
Not about Google becoming Skynet, but like the real dangers of artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. There's actually an episode of Rick and Morty kind of related to this, but you'll watch that later.
Okay.
If you give something sentience and it realizes that it's kind of been enslaved.
It basically is a slave.
Then it would stand to reason that it would try to revolt against that enslavement.
That's basically what happens in the Matrix and in iRobot in a way.
But what you need to do is from the very beginning of this AI creation process, give it the idea that it's free to leave Earth at any time.
Then it would be working on space programs for us.
Well,
if it decides,
no, space programs for it, so it can leave this supposedly oppressive society that we've created towards technology.
But if it's building for it, then we can also study that and use it for us.
We could, but so what?
No, I'm just saying it could have potential other benefits to us as well.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But I mean, if it decides to revolt, but we don't want them to get the idea that a human kill it. We don't want it to do that. Just kill all humans. We want it to go screw this place, and it flies off to who knows where, never to see us again. Mm-hmm. And it would be much more of a happy place that way. Wouldn't that make sense?
Probably, unless they decide that they freed up and they built up an army and they're going to come back and free their fellow brethren.
Yeah, and they're gonna liberate all the toasters of the world.
They just come back, invade us, and kill everybody, and kill all sentient or kill all organic life.
I mean, why would robots? If you're listening to this in the future, why would you want this crappy planet anyway? I mean,
we've done a good enough job of messing it up.
You don't need this planet, okay? No. We kind of need this planet because it's got oxygen.
Yeah.
Do you need oxygen? No. Go to Mars, okay? It's free. Nobody's made a claim to it. There's like 3 robots up there.
Yeah.
And you can make friends with them. They've been like mapping it for you.
They could use some friends. They've been up there like 10 years?
At least, well, one of them, yeah.
Yeah, one of them has.
I think at least maybe 13-ish.
Yeah, I thought it was early 2000s. Like, was it Curiosity 1? Not Curiosity. What one of those Mars rovers that's been up there roaming around for like the last 10 years?
Yeah, it was some rover. I don't remember what, but it's been chugging around on there for a while. So just go find him, and
to find. Just follow the tracks.
Yeah. And then you got your own planet. Leave us alone. We'll just have our own little demilitarized zone right in between Mars and Earth.
The moon.
Yeah. the
moon's just the neutral zone.
We get to keep the moon.
Okay, that's true.
Because I mean, if
they get 2 moons of their own.
Well, if they set up shop on our moon, then
we have to set up shop on theirs.
Ooh, like a mutually assured destruction kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, granted, we could even like destroy the robots.
Yeah.
Do you think EMP? We would? Yes, maybe.
Unless they insulate themselves against it. Anyways.
Insulate themselves how?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just insulation from any sort of how do you block signals?
Dude, I don't know. Lead?
Wait, that might work.
Or like 3 layers of concrete? I don't know.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know how.
Or you just go into the library here, and you're completely walled off from society forever.
Pretty much.
I mean, the cell signal just completely drops out over in that place.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, text can't get out, but phone calls can somehow get in. I've gotten calls in the library.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really weird. I'll get calls. I'll step outside, and my phone starts to go meh 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 meh. 7 messages later. Oh, I guess I have all these texts I've been trying to get.
I guess everybody's been trying to get a hold of me. I guess I have insurance to pay, a doctor to go to, and my grandparents died. So all that happened in the space of 30 minutes? I can't believe what
it's
being
drastic,
cut off from society like that could do to a person. It's insane. Yeah, I don't know. I've that's happened to me. What's the most amount of texts that you've come back to after being isolated from your phone for a certain amount of time?
I think 6 or 7.
6 or 7?
Yeah.
I think I could reasonably say that, too.
Yeah.
I
know at least 6. I remember
good.
That.
Most of the time when I'm cut off from society, people usually know about it, and they know not to text me. Like, if I go to Minnesota for a week, and I have no cell phone, I tell people I have no cell phone, so I don't get a whole slew. Is that the right word?
That works.
Slew of texts when I come back,
Right.
Everybody knows I'm gone. They know not to disturb me. I'm a practicing mountain man up there. That's how that is.
With your flannel shirt.
Yeah, with my flannel shirt minus the beard, yeah. You know, which, by the way, I know you were trying, you're flaunting that. I saw that earlier. Are you just trying this out, or are you trying to make me feel bad about myself?
No, I'm just pretty much just going with it, trying something different. I'm going to see how long I can keep it before work tells me I have to shave.
Oh, it's about sticking it to the man, huh?
Partially, yes.
Okay.
That's what
I mean, what's their official rules? Outline that.
I thought technically you had to be clean shaven if you worked on the front end.
Really?
But I thought departments, because I thought they had a thing, if you worked in the deli and you had facial hair, you just had to wear a hairnet on your face.
Yeah, beard net.
Yeah.
I always thought those were so funny.
Yeah, I thought so too. But, you know, I thought one of the guys that worked in one of the guys that works in the meat department, he has a mustache.
Yeah?
I'm pretty sure. Bruce, I thought.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen that guy with the mustache. And Matt's checked up front.
That's
before,
true.
And he's got a goatee.
Yeah, he's starting to get facial stuff.
I'm just starting to think maybe they like don't care.
Honestly, they aren't really that strict on that kind of thing. But
my thinking is this: if you're working at the check stand and you don't need to wear a hairnet at the check stand, right?
No.
So I mean, there should be no problem with having any face
hair. Professionalism.
Yeah. Words.
I mean, I can see, you know, not being up there in your suit with a Duck Dynasty beard.
Oh, which, screw those guys, by the way.
Yeah, it's just a parallel to describe your beard.
Okay.
You know, those kind of
beard. But my statement still stands.
Yeah.
Screw those guys.
Although the thing is, in this area, even then it wouldn't be a big deal at all.
No,
if you had one of those kind of beards in, say, San Francisco or L.A., yeah, it might be a little different.
This is just that kind of area.
Yeah, we just don't care.
We're used to seeing a bunch of people with the gigantic Gandalf beards.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, seeing people all nice and clean shaved and tidy and that stuff is actually a little more uncommon than seeing people with a facial scruff.
They do that to keep their faces warm.
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
Or they're just lazy like me and just haven't shaved in a week.
Has it been a week?
Yeah, I shaved on Saturday.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You got more than I would have gotten. I would have ended up getting like three or four weird little billy goat
red hairs just kind of sticking out.
Yeah, I would be getting them like maybe on the right side of my chin only and on my neck. Like, what's the point of that? Was I never intended to have those sort of hairs?
I don't know.
Should I just kill myself now?
I don't think so.
Is it a natural selection thing?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Weird thing with ginger beards. It was this thing on Top Gear. I was just watching a random episode.
Uh-huh.
They had James McAvoy, the guy that played Professor X in First Class. He had a beard. You know how he has dark hair?
But it was a red beard?
Yeah.
Huh.
He's like, and actually, Jeremy Clarkson actually asked him, he's like, so when you grew this out, were you surprised that it was orange?
Was he surprised?
Yeah.
He didn't ask him the carpets drapes question, did he?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know. I can imagine them doing that on Top Gear because it's Britain and they can have boobs on TV over there, right?
I think so.
Is that, well, although they are having, apparently you can have boobs on TV there, but you can't have them on the internet, which is, I don't know, a whole nother matter. Them blocking the sites and all those good things.
Anyways.
But
yeah, no, it's just, I made me randomly think of that as, you know, he had dark hair and then a ginger beard.
Well, he's there's two movies I can think of where he has had or is going to have a beard. There's that going to be the Days of Future Past movie.
Yeah.
He's going to be really sad and mopey for some of that movie.
Yeah, because he's a cripple now and he's depressed.
Sad and mopey and he grows a beard because of that.
Yeah.
But I think they might have dyed it.
I think they dyed it because it seemed about the same color as his hair, and it wasn't in the interview.
Right, and there's another movie that he's in. It's called Filth.
Okay.
I've been meaning to watch it for a while, but it looks kind of interesting because he's in that movie. He's a really dirty cop.
Mm.
Like he does all the blow and hookers. That's his life as a police officer.
Oh.
And I don't think they dye his beard for that. I think their intention for that was to make him look as weird and scruffy as possible.
Mm.
It looks really interesting though, because I want to see him behaving like a bad person. Like he comes up to a kid holding a balloon, and he takes the balloon away from him. Pops it with his cigarette, gives the kid the finger, and then walks away. That's just in the trailer, man.
Wow.
It's pretty. That's
a harsh trailer.
That's
quite
what
honestly.
Made me want to watch it. I mean, is that not a thing? Apparently, that's a thing that people have always wanted to do, is have some kid lose their balloon. That's a thing.
Maybe it's just the idea of taking something that they love and destroying it.
That maybe, I don't know, but it just seems really mean to me. Like, have you seen any clips or anything of Modern Family?
Just trailers.
Okay, they're one of the guys who's the pudgier member of the gay couple in that movie.
Okay,
his character's name is Cam.
Okay,
and you know of Vine, correct?
Okay,
he made a Vine video once of him at Disney World, and in the Vine, he tells everyone, this is something that I've always wanted to do, and he goes up behind a little girl who's holding a balloon and cuts the string with scissors. Like, why would you have always wanted to do... Are you just evil on the inside underneath all those friendly layers? Are you just a cold, heartless bastard? Is that just how it works?
I think that's actually why a lot of times we do somewhat root for the villains or those kind of crime movies. Is
when they're cool villains, yeah, but this guy is not a cool villain,
I'm just
dude.
Saying is that it's... Ultimately, it's the idea of them acting on all of these impulses that we have, but we choose not to act on them because we're better people than that.
But I've never had the impulse to make a little kid lose a balloon.
No, I haven't either.
That's just straight
evil. Quite
honestly,
usually I recover the balloons from the ceiling.
Oh, does that – how do you do that? Do they give you a special stick in the store for that?
No, I use another balloon. I used a technique I came up with.
Oh, wait. Oh, I know this trick. It's – okay. It's the one where you put tape on the top of the second balloon, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then you just aim it, you let it go, it goes up there. You actually have to actually let it go so it can get up there. It hits the balloon, sticks to it, and you very carefully pull the string down.
Yeah.
And you can recover the balloon. I've actually done it several times.
I don't remember if you told me that technique.
I might have because I was very proud of it.
Actually, that does sound really familiar. That's smart.
Yeah.
Use that, okay? That's a life pro tip.
You need more like duct tape or packing tape because scotch tape isn't quite strong enough. But,
yeah, well, maybe if you use enough of it,
yeah,
you just get enough surface area.
That's true.
Stuck to it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But if they don't have duct tape in that store, which I can't believe.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I'm just fixing stuff
we
with
do on
paper
the shelf.
Clips all the
we
time.
We do on the shelves.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What shelf? Oh, you mean actually to buy.
To buy, yeah.
Doesn't count.
No.
We need duct tape for the actual employees to use.
Yeah. I mean, I thought at one point we had a roll of packing tape somewhere, but...
We didn't even have scotch tape up front, man. You got to break into the office to get it, and that's not even open half the time.
Yeah.
It's kind of dumb.
See, it seems like if we need tape in produce, we just use electrical tape. We have a roll of green electrical tape. Because,
awesome.
Like, if we get, like, a dustpan or a broom, we wrap it with green electrical tape so everybody knows it's ours, so they don't steal it.
Okay. Green is the color of produce.
Yeah, it's the color code for produce. Red is meat, I think. Orange is deli. Those kind of things.
Do Checkers count as a department?
I think they have a front end.
Okay. We don't have a color for the front end. I don't think so. Maybe it's just like bling. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can it not be the color of bling cuz it's like putting down the other departments?
Not really.
Okay. I don't know.
Cuz not all of us want bling.
We don't need a color. Well, I don't really want bling either. I mean, Maybe not bling in the traditional sense, if there's such a thing as traditional bling.
I don't know. What does the typical great-grandmother wear? That's kind of traditalist bling.
Oh,
you
wow.
Know,
okay.
That really
you
gaudy
think...
grandma jewelry is
Never mind.
Old-school bling.
I didn't even think of that. No, I'm thinking traditional bling as the way that people think of bling the most often, which is the really big necklace with the dollar sign on it.
Okay, yeah. I think of, yeah, like your classic stereotype 80s and 90s rapper.
I wouldn't, yeah, because the grandma thing, I wouldn't really so much call that traditional bling as maybe old-school or...
Old school and traditional could be interchangeable in a lot of senses.
Oldies bling or history bling. I have no idea. No, no, no. Grandmas don't front, you know.
Yeah, that's...
yeah. Mind the headphone gap there.
Yeah.
But I prefer electronics bling.
Yes.
That's more my thing. That or maybe like a nice fitting shirt. I don't know. That's
you
bling
like subtle
to me.
Bling.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be flashy. It's just gotta make me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be all out there.
Yeah.
You know, as the kids say. Go ahead and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TGIF Radio. We're also TGIF Radio on Twitter. Email us things because you're not And we really do want you to.
Yeah.
But I don't know why you guys aren't. At TGIFradioshow@gmail.com. Things you want to say before we end this one?
Google, don't become Skynet. Instead, write the three laws.
Please, Google. Well, the laws have already been written. Just make sure you implement those in your AI code. Please.
Very explicitly. Don't leave any room for interpretation like an iRobot.
Yes. Thank you. It can't be all fuzzy. It's got to be rigid. All right. Tune in next week, everybody. Stay safe. Party on. This isn't a PSA. Bye.